If you're visiting with us, we are super glad that you're here. Let me tell you what we do. We'll just remind you what we do as we're reading through the Bible together. We're using the one-year Bible this year as our guide. And we're all on the same page during the two-year plan. We're reading through the Old Testament this year, New Testament next year. We're all reading the same chapters. And then on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, we cover some of the reading that we've been doing. So we're all learning together, growing together. We did kind of a complete overview of the book of Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night. So what I've decided to do this morning, I just want to go to chapter 6 and just talk about just like two or three verses there that I think could be encouraging to us. So Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 10. Whatever one is, he has been named already. For it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is man the better? For who knows what is good for man in life, all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Here the writer, first of all, talks about contending with him who is mightier than you. Now, growing up as a kid, I wasn't real dumb. And I knew better than to pick a fight with someone who was tougher than I was. I just knew better than that. It didn't take a lot of sense. I just knew better than that. You don't just go around picking on the toughest guy in school. You don't want to contend with those who are mightier than you. Yet, to me, it's an amazing thing how many people choose to contend with God. There are many people who are angry with God. There are a whole lot of people who have become bitter with God. Now, our contending with God usually results from circumstances that arise in our own lives that we don't understand. Maybe I've had some real adverse circumstances, a tragedy. Maybe I can't understand why it's happened. I begin to challenge God and question God because of this tragedy. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? Lord, why is this going on in my life? You could have circumvented this. Why am I in this trouble, Lord? Why is this happening? This is so far beyond my comprehension, God. I don't understand this. And I begin to contend with God because of a personal tragedy that I'm not able to understand. And so I begin to contend with God. Perhaps I've gone through a great disappointment. I was hoping to get a promotion. I was hoping for this business deal that would really salvage my business. I was hoping that it would go through. I was really depending upon that phone call to say that I've been offered this new position in a different area, and I could leave the hurts where I am now, and I could go do this, and I've been so disappointed. And I begin to ask God, why did you allow this to happen? It was so perfect. It was so right. It's something that would have solved all of these problems, would have brought peace and contentment and satisfaction into my life. Why did this happen? Because I can't understand what's going on. So I begin to contend with God because I can't understand what he's doing. Perhaps, maybe I've experienced a deep sorrow. Someone that I've loved has died or has had a serious illness. And I can't understand why a person as beautiful and as wonderful as they are should have to suffer like that. And I begin to challenge God. I begin to challenge God because of the sorrow that I feel that I'm going through. I begin to contend with God. And out of the depths of my sorrow, out of the pain even, I begin to contend with God over the issues of life. And it is amazing how many people, because of these adverse circumstances, really begin to contend with God. They get very angry with God. They quit speaking to God. They get to the place where they even deny the presence of God, and then they begin to fight against God. So many times when you find a person who is really bitter against God, and you trace it back, you will usually discover that somewhere in their life, they had a very tragic, disappointing experience that they couldn't understand. So many times, not even knowingly, not even consciously, not even intentionally, what they do is they begin to turn against God. And they become bitter, and then they become more bitter, and they begin to deny God because they could not understand the ways of God. But as we read here in verse 10, it says, he can't contend with him who is mightier than he. It just has to be the height of folly to contend with God. First of all, how could you possibly hope to win? If you're contending with God, you are absolutely in a no-win situation. You can't win. You cannot come out on top. Secondly, it's folly for me to contend with God because I myself really don't know what is good for me. I really don't know what's good for me. Now, I can think that I know what's good for me. I can feel that I know what's right for me. I can assume that I know what's right for me. And I know my life. I've lived in my life a lot of years. I've been around me most of the time, and I know what I feel would be best and good for me. And you know, I think I know what would be best for my life. But as we read in verse 12, who knows what is good for man in this life? And when it comes right down to it, I must confess that I really don't know what is good for me. We dealt with that a lot on Wednesday night as we covered the whole book and went through many, many verses. But I just thought I'd kind of do a little topical thing this morning and go a little deeper. How do I know what's really best for me? Do I see the whole picture? I see myopically. I can only see straight ahead. I know what I want. I know what I think I need. I don't have peripheral vision when it comes to spiritual things. I don't know the future. I'm conditioned by the past and my decisions. And so I really don't know what's good for me. Is it better for me to be rich or to be poor? I don't know. I mean, if God should give me riches, would those riches turn my heart and my mind from him? Would that make me a better servant for God, being rich, or a lesser servant of God? If God should give me riches, would that create the danger of my trusting in those riches? If God should give me riches, would I then be able to withstand the temptations that Paul said comes to those who are rich? Would I be able to manage it? Or would my riches turn my heart from God? Would my possessions turn me away from him? I don't know. Is it good for me to be in poverty, so I must trust in him for everything I need? I don't know. Would the excitement of God's work of supplying my needs be lost? I read in the disciples asked Jesus one day, said, Lord, we see you praying all the time, and it is so cool. Why don't you teach us how to pray? And one of the things he said in that prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. And if in fact, so I see, I don't know. If all of a sudden God blessed me with all kinds of material things and riches and wealth, would I no longer be asking him to supply my daily bread? Am I now sidetracked from watching him supply supernaturally, daily, the needs of my life? Or would I be a good steward of that and use that to enhance God's kingdom and bless and further the things of God? See, God knows I don't. I have prayed for 30 years in this ministry that God would bless me and God would bless this church as much as he can. And by that I mean, he would bless me to the point that I'm able to handle his blessings. He would bless this church to the point this church is able to handle his blessings. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things. I've known a lot of people. I've watched a lot of pastors rise and be blessed abundantly above their wildest expectations and not be able to handle that success, not be able to live with the power that comes with that or the responsibility that comes with that. I've watched others who have been able to handle that so wonderfully and not a problem. So do I know? I don't. So I have to trust God. See, I'll give you a little insight. I mean, not insight, but let me share something with you. This is just as friend to friend. You can't say this to anybody, tell anybody about this stuff. So, see, we're at a crossroads right now. And I'm in a time of prayer. I'm getting off quite a bit by myself. I'm getting with other people. I'm getting with some leaders. I'm getting with other pastors. You know, you see me, you know, I'm not gone from services, but I'm trying to just hear and settle down and hear what God is saying. Because we're at a crossroads. You know, we've bought some property. We've got 10 acres, you know, and we can build build a huge facility and sell this one and move over there. Or we can build a smaller one over there and keep this one and have several in the desert. I don't know what God's saying. I'm really not sure. I don't know if he wants a mega church or lots of neighborhood churches. I don't know. And I don't want your opinion. Don't come and make appointments telling me what you think God says, because I want to hear from him. All right? I want to hear from you. I want to hear from him. Because I've already got letters and phone calls and emails, and this is what you should do. And I put them all together, and I just send them to each other. Okay? I cross ones that are disagreeing, just send them to the other person. You guys can argue it out, and then let me know how it works out. You know? But see, I really only, because I don't want, if we do that, and it's a great location, Aaron Palm Desert is wonderful, but if we do that, is that something that will benefit us? Or destroy us? I don't gonna do anything until we know what God is saying. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys or not. You know, it's not a matter of we have to do that. We can build because we're able to, and we can grow and all that stuff. And I just don't even care about that. Maybe I did 30 years ago, but now I just want to be obedient to what God wants me to do. And it's wonderful. So my prayer is, God, bless us in the way that we can handle it. Because I don't want to be a fatality. I don't want to bring reproach upon the name of Christ because I couldn't handle some blessing that he brought into my life. And so I don't know. So I'm not praying for riches or wealth or prosperity or poverty. I'm not praying for any of it. What is good for me, riches or poverty? I don't know. One of the writers of Proverbs said, in fact, turn there, Proverbs chapter 30. Interesting verse. I kind of try to live by this one. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Here's the verse. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So my prayer, like the writer of Proverbs here, my prayer is, God, don't give me poverty or great wealth. Give me what I need. God knows what is best for me. I don't. Is it good for me? You can put your name here. We can start saying we if you want to, if it sounds better. So it's not just talking about, you know, what is good for me. How about this? Is it good that we have sickness or health? Paul said, so that he would not be exalted, he had an affliction to keep him humble. My desire to always be healthy is that keeping God from bestowing on me an abundance of revelations? Paul said, I have this thorn in the flesh. I prayed for it 3 times. God said, you need this. Now, if I'm always praying that nothing comes into my life and keep me away from all kinds of stress and I don't want any physical problems or anything else, is that keeping me from an abundance of revelation that God wants to give me, but he can't give me unless I stay in a place of humility? I don't know. Quite possibly. When I had my heart attack and went through heart surgery and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, that changed my life. Changed my ministry, changed my attitude towards God. Gave me great understanding into the hearts of people and what they thought about God. Like the lady that came up to me right after I came back. I was off for several months and came back, and one of the dear saints of God came up to me and she said, Pastor Chuck, aren't you embarrassed? And I quickly looked around to see if there was something that I should be embarrassed about. And everything seemed to be intact and it was okay, you know. And I said, what do you mean, aren't I embarrassed? And she said that you would have a heart attack. And then after having a heart attack, that you wouldn't have enough faith not to have open heart surgery. And I says, no, ma'am, I'm many things. I'm in pain. I'm recovering from this. I'm going through emotional things, some depression that is part of the package usually when you have that kind of surgery. And I'm going through some depression. I cry at commercials on television because they didn't use the right kind of soap. I went through all kinds of great emotional stresses, and I was a great emotion. You told me any problems, I'd be on my face wailing and crying. You know, just, you know, you missed the stop sign, you know, whatever. But I said, one of the things that I'm not embarrassed. And so I sat down and began to talk with her and realized that what the problem was is her faith was challenged. And she was embarrassed to have a pastor who didn't have enough faith not to have a heart attack, have heart disease. So we got a chance to sit down and talk and told her it had nothing to do with faith. It had everything to do with lifestyle. Okay? My lifestyle of the way that I ate and all of the things that I did gave me my heart disease. It had nothing to do with lack of faith. It had everything to do with double-doubles and all that kind of stuff, man. Okay. So it changed my understanding of people and things that I was presenting to them. So the question is it good for me to be healthy or to have a sickness? Could I really glory in my weakness that the power of God could be manifest in me? That's what Paul said. He said, I glory in my weakness that the power of God can be manifest. Could I really do that? That's a depth of character that seems can only be developed by suffering. You meet a person that has never had a difficult a problem of some kind, and you will find a shallowness in their character. And you'll sit down and they'll talk about clothes and homes and cars and lifestyles and travels and all of that kind of stuff. Talk to a person who has spent a lot of time in a bed of affliction, and you will find a depth of character that is incredible. So which is better? Hey, I'm not giving you answers. I'm just asking questions this morning, okay? I'm not offering answers. I don't know what's best for me. Rich or poor or healthy or suffering. I don't know. I don't pretend to know what's best for me. Where are we? We're in Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 12 again. For who knows what is good for man in life? Is it better for me to be famous or live in obscurity? I don't know what's best for me. Would fame turn my head from God? Would it cause me to become puffed up? Would it put me on a pedestal from which I would ultimately be destroyed? Or is it better to live in obscurity? I don't know. I don't know what wealth or health or fame would do to me. I don't know how I would respond to these things. I just don't know. Somehow we feel we know what is good. We feel that if God was doing the right thing, he would have made me wealthy. He would have made me healthy. He would have made me famous. And lastly, he would have made me beautiful. He didn't seem to do any of those in my life. And when I seem to lack any of these, I start to contend with God. God, why did you make me look this way? I'll get up sometimes and look in the mirror and I'll just say, God, that's your fault. I had nothing to do with this. You did that. Why? So I get angry with God. And I find myself contending with the one who is mightier than I am. And it's only because I presume to know what is best for me. And if God doesn't follow through with what I think is best for me, then I get angry with him. Think about it. That's ridiculous. I have to come to the point where I accept the fact that God is sovereign. I don't know what's best. Didn't we have the same attitudes growing up as children? You know, we knew that bicycle was best for us. At 14 years old, Dad, give me the keys of the car. Of course not. He knew what was best for me. He knew that but I thought that would be a good thing. Am I right? I wanted this toy. I wanted that thing. I wanted this. I wanted to go there. I wanted these clothes. I wanted that stuff. And I thought that was best for me. And I would pout and do my little fitty things and all that kind of stuff because I didn't get what I thought was best for me. But my parents knew that that was not good for me. And I come into the kingdom of God, and many times I stay that same little bratty child. And I shake my fist at God. And I tell God just how unfair he is. Nobody but me. Am I the only one? Just confession this morning. You guys are all okay. You're sorry you came, and you just this pastor's up there just confessing all of his faults, and we're really cool. Is that the way it is? When you're struggling with finances and you can't pay your bills, and your car isn't running very well or just hardly at all, and one of the family in church bounces in. You're so depressed because you don't know what you're going to do. Every time you answer the phone, you don't even say hello anymore. You just say, the check's in the mail. You know, you just that way. And one of your buddies walks in on Sunday morning and you're coming and say, oh God, just help me a little bit. Just keep my head above the water. And your buddy walks in and say, you know, man, God just gave me a brand new car and paid off all my bills. Now, what is your first thought? Oh, God bless you, bro. I'm so happy for you. You deserve that. Oh, praise God. Is that what your thought is? Your thought is, God, my Bible's bigger than his. I go to more Bible studies. That guy's not even a nice person. In fact, I'm not even sure he's saved. He's such a jerk. Same bratty kid. God, why did you do that? It's not fair. God wants us to bless those he blesses. That's a whole other story. But you know, we get upset because God doesn't treat us the way we think we ought to be treated. We deserved that new car. And that just reminds me of just God's always bringing me back to that place because I go through it constantly. God, I deserve this. Anybody else? I deserve better than this. I deserve more than this. I've shared this before, but I can't think of another illustration because I'm old and I only have so many. But it's when I go to pastors' conferences and I'm sitting there, and I've been going to Calvary Chapel pastors' conferences since they've started. I was at the first one. I've been at all of them, man. And it's come to the point now that, you know, I'll sit there and we'll have the speakers, and the next guy will get up to speak, and he's about 12. He has a church of 25,000. you know, and he's had the church for about a week and a half, and it's exploded, and he's on television, written 6 books, all right. And I'm sitting there, what am I sitting there thinking? God bless him. You know, he deserves that. He's paid the cost. You know, he's paid the price. This is cool. Oh, God, thank you. I'm sitting there going, Lord, I can't learn anything from this guy until he gets through puberty at least. Okay. And I want to hear a word he says. And I'm sitting there going, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. I've done this for 30 years. I've paid the price. I've gone through the hurts. I've gone through the pains. And here's this kid up there. This isn't fair. And God always speaks to me and he says, okay, do you want a relationship with me based upon what's fair? Do you want me to do in your life and give you only what you deserve? Well, being the man of God that I am with the great depth of spiritual truth that I know, my answer is always, Oh, God bless that young man, you know. Because I realize I don't deserve to pastor this church. Not that I don't deserve a church of 50,000. I don't deserve to sit and talk with one person about Jesus. I don't deserve to sit in a Bible study and open up the Word of God. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy that we're here today. It's God's mercy that I can talk to you about the things of God. It's not because of, I'm a, you know, and I understand that. For who knows, verse 12, what is for man in life, all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Now, here are some things we do know. That's all. I give you the whole study of what we don't know. Just ask a bunch of questions. I know, according to verse 12, that all the days of my vain life pass like a shadow. Notice, first of all, that life is measured by days. All the days of my, it doesn't say all the years of my life, all the generations, it says all the days of my life. Life is so short. The older you get, the shorter it becomes. Kids, it's like an eternity between birthdays, isn't it? It's like 20 years between birthdays. When a little kid, I get when my birthday, it seems like it's forever. The older you get, it seems like you have one about every other week. It just speeds up, man. The older you become, the more aware you are of the shortness of life. When Jacob was 130 years old, he said, few and evil have been the days of my life. He's saying at 130 years old, I've only been around a few days. Life is really short. Secondly, I know that life apart from Jesus Christ is empty. It's what verse 12 says. All the days of his vain life or his empty life. So I know my life is short and I know that it's empty. The book of Ecclesiastes, we talked about it Wednesday, starts with Solomon's search for life. And in the book, he talks about, you know, life exists in education. Life lies in riches, building monuments, fame, pleasure. And he lists all of these things. And his result is, his conclusion is, it's all empty. It's all empty. His final cry was, emptiness, emptiness. Everything was empty and frustrating. Everything that I did. Listen to me, a life apart from God is without real meaning and real purpose. And one day, every one of us must come to that conclusion. Even if you end up achieving all of your goals, without Christ, you will find they're empty. As Jesus said to the woman at the well, lady, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. Finally, I know this. Life apart from Jesus Christ lacks real substance. Did you see that? which he passes like a shadow. What's best for me? The whole thing evolves around the next question. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? In other words, who can tell you about tomorrow? What will happen after you're gone? What will happen with your wealth? What will happen with your kids? See, we don't know. And that's why it's so wrong for me to contend with God. See, maybe a situation has developed in my life. I don't understand it. Maybe a situation has developed in your life and you don't understand it. So we begin to contend with God. We begin to complain. And boy, we're good at that. We whine, we whimper. We don't tell everybody else because we're super saints, you know. Somebody else asks you how you're doing. Fine, God bless you. Isn't he great? He's coming soon. Thank you, Jesus. But behind the scenes, man, we're whimpering like babies, man. Are we? You know, God, you do, you know. But don't let anybody else know that, man, because you are, you know, rip off the shirt and it's super saint, you know. So we're complaining. But I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Here's the good news, church. God is in the process of working out a good plan. But I only know I don't like what's going on right now, so I complain. He knows what's best for me. And he does. He knows what's best. God causes all things to work together for good, to them to love him and are called according to his purpose. He's working it out for my good and his glory. He knows what's best. I don't like the process. And the process is what is going to get me to the place that he has for me. His purpose for me, and there's a process to get there, but I don't like the... Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to go from point A to point B. I don't want to take the journey. God, just translate me here from my despair here to my success here. Just translate me over there. This is going to be a journey. There's a process. And I don't like the process. Because the process reveals who I am. The process shows my selfishness. The process shows my self-centeredness. The process shows my weaknesses. The process shows my pride. The process shows my arrogance. And he's dealing with all of those things and myriads more, but he's dealing with those things. So I have to walk through the process. So life, apart from God, is empty. Verse 12. Life, apart from God, is so short. Life is short anyway. I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what tomorrow holds. So what is the wisest thing I could do? The wisest thing I could do is to submit my life and my future to him, no matter what. Because it's in his hands anyway, so why should I strive any longer? Why don't I just let go and say, God, whatever you decide, I just want to be used. I don't know the whole story. I don't know the beginning from the end, and you do. If there's a process I'm going through, there's some changes you need to do in my life. Rich or poor, healthy or suffering, makes no difference, Lord, because you're going to walk it through with me. Let's stand. Lord, I would ask that you would take my feeble words somehow and bring life to us, to each and every one of us. Lord, you would show us the things that we need to know. Lord, I just assume because you changed this whole study last night and just had me go a totally different direction. instead of more of an expository type of teaching, Lord, and you, because I guess there's some of us that needed to hear this. Maybe just for me, maybe for some others, Lord, but I want to trust you in that because I don't know the whole picture. So God, I just submit it to you and submit our lives to you. If there are those of us here who have been striving with you and with decisions you've made and the way our life is going and the way situations are, and we have been contending with you, Lord, we confess that now. And we choose to stop contending with you because how we don't know what's right and you do. So we want from this morning on just to lift our hearts, our lives, our very beings to you and submit to your desire and your will for our lives. Rich, poor, healthy, not healthy, our way, not our way, whatever you want to do, Jesus, we can trust you. Because you're the author and finisher of our faith. So we just want to submit to you. Because you are so great, so powerful, so awesome, and so wonderful. And we trust you. It's in your name we pray. Sweet, sweet Jesus. In closing, I just felt the need for us to just sing old hymn, man. How great thou art, because he is. Let's worship.